From Matthew's Gospel, 6th chapter, beginning at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And why do you worry about it, about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. A dear friend of mine, older man than I, when I first entered the ministry, served four little country churches one time, and I think he wondered if people ever heard anything he said. I know Dr. Michael knows everybody and listens and hears everything he says, but my friend wondered about this, and so he preached a sermon in this little church one Sunday, and he got to each church once a month, and the next month he was back, and before he got up to when he got up to preach, he said, now, I'm going to read my text this morning, and if anybody here has ever heard a sermon preached on this text before, would you please let me know after the service? And he said, wasn't a single person there said anything to him about it. They hadn't heard anything from the month before. And then I heard of another preacher that went to the church, and he was there for the first Sunday, and he preached a sermon that everybody thought was great, and they told him so. And the next Sunday he got up and preached exactly the same sermon, and the people sort of grinned and said, well, he didn't remember he preached that last Sunday. Third Sunday he got up and preached the same sermon again, and they said, wait a minute, what are you doing? He said, when you do what I told you in that one, I'll preach another one. And sort of with these two thoughts in mind, I decided to go back and have some reruns. I'm going to be preaching in the next five Sundays, hopefully, on some of the spiritual principles, of biblical principles that have worked in my life. And I did this 14 years ago, so any of you that can remember anything I said 14 years ago, you're excused. But, you know, I doubt if any of you remember much of anything I said 14 years ago. But I want to speak on some biblical principles that worked for me. And as I have been in the ministry now 55 years, I've observed and shared in many lives with their joys and sorrows, their victories and defeats. Also in other areas, we look to people who have found a way to make something work, and we try to learn from them. So I felt like maybe I've learned something in all these years that make meaning to you and helpful to you, and for me to repeat it and remind myself. And this is more of my personal testimony these weeks than anything else. Now, I cannot, of course, presume to say that I've always perfectly lived by these principles, but I found when I live by these principles, life works out pretty well. And when I go away from these principles, I get into trouble. And so we come tonight, and I want to lift up the key principle of life as I see it. When Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Seek first. What is first in your life? Paul said on one occasion, for me to live is Christ. If you were going to make that statement for yourself, for me to live is, what would you say? What would you say? What is the one primary compelling thing that directs your life more than anything else? For many people in our day, it seems that their reason for living is to be able to go and shop and buy and consume. It appeared in the Wall Street Journal a number of years ago that a California bumper sticker had on it, "I shop, therefore I am." And a woman named Miriam Murray of Saddle River, New Jersey, seemed typical. The stylish brunette says, "I have to buy something every week. I could shop every day. I think stores should set up cots so people could take a nap and still do it all over again." 7 pages of the Wall Street Journal were dedicated to things like this, and it was headed, "Born to Shop." Is this your reason for being? Would you say, "For me to live is to shop and buy and consume"? You're sure to be disappointed if this is your goal. For the accumulation of things, no matter how high the pile, cannot satisfy the deeper longings of the human soul. Or do you live for pleasure? It will ultimately bring you nausea if this is all you live for. Regardless of what gives you pleasure, too much of it will just make you sick. Now, I know there's some avid football fans in this congregation, and you like to watch football on television, but you've got so much of it in the last 3 weeks, you just don't care much about it right now. It gets sickening. I like ice cream, but I don't want to sit down and eat 5 gallons of it. You know, enough of anything. It gives you pleasure. It soon is done and it's over with. For me to live is to seek after pleasure is surely to be disappointing. Or do you always live making safety first and security your primary goal? To think always first of the safe way, the secure way, the conflict-free way, is to develop a cowardly and a defenseless mind, afraid to live, afraid of putting more locks on the door and bars on the window and money in the bank. Would you say, "For me to live is to have safety"? Or if you live for profits first, you lose all concern for your fellow man, and life has no love or compassion or real worth in it. Would you, if you were honest, say, "For me to live is to make money"? So many people nowadays get so busy making a living, they have no time to live. What is your reason for living? What do you seek first? Only you can answer that question for yourself. But it is my conviction from observation, from study, and from experience that the way to the best life is to affirm the truth in the statement of Jesus, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In Luke 9:59-61, Jesus called one man to follow Him and another man volunteered. And each of them were ready to go to Jesus, but both of them said, "Let me first." One said, "Let me first go bury my parents." The other said, "Let me first go say goodbye to them in my home." And Jesus turned them both down. He said, if you let the dead bury their own dead, and if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is not going to have any of this. I'll follow you, but let me first. Henry Drummond said on one occasion, "Do not touch Christianity unless you are willing to seek the kingdom of heaven first. I promise you a miserable existence if you keep it second." Life should be like a solar system with Jesus as a sun in the center, as a personal focus of the kingdom, and all else revolving around Him. As long as He is at our center, as long as we are focused on Him and His will for us, then I have found that life works and works well. Oftentimes, my fault has been not in what I have done, not that I have done anything bad, but I have chosen to do something good instead of the best. And I think that's where many of us fail. We don't do bad things. We do good things, but we don't do the best that God would have us doing. Jesus and life says to me, seek first the kingdom. Focus on Jesus. Seek always to know and to do His will. And then you'll begin to have life. A life that's largely free from worry, for all things will be added unto you. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. In the context, he's talking about the essentials for life. I think it goes further than that. But in the context of the scriptures, he's talking about food and clothing and shelter and the things we need for everyday life. Is this true? Can we depend upon it? If we truly seek to place God first in our life, will he provide all things that we need for life? Can we depend on it and not have to worry about day-to-day meals? Sounds good, but does it make sense? Will it work? Well, it may not sound reasonable. We might not be able to figure it out logically. The writer of Proverbs in the 3rd chapter says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You see, sometimes something may not sound reasonable, it may not seem logical, but if we trust God and we sure that we're in His will and seeking first the kingdom, we can trust His promises. His promise that if we seek His kingdom first, He'll supply our needs. And I'd like to testify tonight, I found it so. I found it so. It told so many things, but I'll just share two or three. It was in the fall of 1956 that I entered seminary. Winniedale and I had two children. Our son was 3 years old. Our daughter was 6 weeks old. I'd just been appointed to serve 4 little churches in Randolph County, Alabama, 95 miles away from the seminary. We had no money, or very little money, and my 4 churches paid me less than $200 a month. And I got $160 a month on the GI Bill, total income of less than $360 a month. We had to rent an apartment in Atlanta, and every week we went back and forth from Wadawi, Alabama to Emory University. Had to maintain 2 houses and pay all of our expenses, for I had no financial aid from the school, no scholarships. Had to buy all my books. All of our resources came out of that less than $360 a month, driving between 18 and 20,000 miles a year. We had all the expenses of a young family plus school. And I trusted God. Winniedale and I did together. We tithed faithfully off of our gross income, including the GI Bill. And we never lacked for anything we really needed. We may not have had all the things that we wanted, but God supplied every need of our lives. And when I finished seminary, we didn't owe anybody anything except to love one another. Now you try to figure that out. 14 years later, in 1970, I was at an annual conference, and Calvin had 1 more year before going to college, and Winnette had 4 more years before she'd be starting to college, and we were moving to Goodwater, and our total salary for the first 2 years there, this is 1970, was $7,800 a year, and they didn't pay any health insurance. We had to buy our own health insurance. I was concerned about my family. At Yielding Chapel on the campus of Birmingham Southern College, I waited before God late in the night, praying. And I said, in effect, God, there is no way I can pay for my children to get an education that they need. I'm going to trust you to provide for our needs. A year later, Calvin finished high school. He went to Birmingham Southern, and he found out right quick he didn't want to be there, so he came back home. Went to community college for 2 years, then went to the University of South Alabama, finished school there. We moved to Huntsville in 1974, right after our daughter had finished high school, and she went to UH 2 years and went down to Montevallo for 2 years. Both of them graduated from college. When it came to Huntsville, we got a great increase in salary. I was making $11,500 a year, and that included health insurance then. And I don't believe that you can figure out logically how we were able to manage and have both of our children graduate from college owing less than $1,000 each. All I can say is that God provided, God supplied our needs. One other than I'm through. 1993, I was beginning to think more seriously about retiring. We never owned our own home, never expected to. But that year I looked at things and I told Winnedale, I said, I believe if we're careful that we can have our own home to retire to. And we came to Huntsville looking for a house. We looked in several areas. We looked for long hours. We looked in Meridianville. We looked in Hazel Green. We looked in Madison. We looked out at Ryland. Realtors showed us two houses. People that lived in the houses showed us two houses. We just didn't find anything that seemed right. And we went back to Birmingham, still not having a place to go to. We came back to Huntsville on another weekend sometime and came back to Meridianville. And we drove down and there was a new sign in the front yard, house for sale by owner. And we stopped and looked at it, just passing by. Wrote down the phone number on it. Found out later that the owner had put the sign up there the day before. Winnedale was specific about what she wanted in the way of a house. She didn't want a big house. She didn't want a house that was surrounded by trees because we'd been there and she tired of the all of the shade and lack of light. She wanted a house that had plenty of light and didn't have many windows. And she wanted a house with a kitchen on the front. We went in and saw that little house. I'd never bought a house in my life. I didn't know anything about buying a house. But I asked the man how much he wanted for it and how much he would have me to give him that day to take the sign down. And I could go into long detail, but all of the things fell into place. In that summer of 93, we bought our little house. Everything that Winnedale wanted. Everything we'd ever dreamed of. And for 16 and a half years, it's been a wonderful place to live in our home. Through all of the years of my life, through joys and sorrows, births and deaths, sickness and health, victory and defeat. Basically, we've attempted to always seek God's will for our lives, to seek His kingdom first. We've tried to be faithful stewards of all the talents and resources that God has given into our hands. And while I've often failed God, I'm glad to witness tonight that He's never failed me. He's always supplied every need of my life, whether it was material or physical or spiritual. And He continues to do so, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. So I'd say, praise be to God. And my word of counsel to unite is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is the command of Jesus. And when we do this, you can find that it will work and God will supply every need for your life, that you can live an abundant life, a joyful life, a victorious life. Praise be to God. Trust Him. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. Lord, give us the grace and the faith to do this one thing. In Jesus' name, amen.